Hey, greetings, everybody. We are coming back to you again.
Mm-hmm.
Who's we?
Me and you.
Sister
you and
Amen.
You and me.
Sister Amen with Brother
Tupos.
That's
example.
Me.
Example.
Yeah. Hey, we're driving on today. The Lord gave us another day. Did we have a good, thankful day today, Sister Amen?
We did. It was very thankful. We always try to be thankful every day, though.
Yeah.
But
we didn't have to travel today. We're in the town we need to be in for our preach, so we ran around, got some errands done. We got to a big, huge park. It was huge, and nobody was there.
It was
nobody.
Nice.
So we washed clothes. We took showers in our little pop-up shower blind. I think we put a... No, we didn't. We had pictures, but we didn't put those up. No. What we did do... What we did do is we found wild raspberries.
Oh, yeah, we did. That was awesome.
So we put a little quick video of that up. I'm looking. There's like 50 mosquitoes right behind you, Sister Amen, in our screen. We're in mosquito country up here.
Oh,
the mosquitoes can't get in, but they smell us and they're hungry.
Oh yeah, they are.
So yeah, we picked strawberry raspberries.
Picked some raspberries.
Reminded us our homestead days.
Oh yeah, with all the blackberries and all the stuff we'd find in the woods.
So we put that video up, and I just wanted to share real quick. We're in this huge park. I think in the video where we put up of washing clothes, I show you that there's nobody there. We had our gospel signs on. I always put them on anyway.
Uh-huh.
And a little later, probably 100 cars showed up for youth soccer.
Yep.
They opened their concession stand, youth soccer. And we had all our gospel signs on proclaiming Jesus. Sister Amen, how many people came, how many parents came and talked to us about Jesus today?
None.
So it just kind of shows you the darkness. Everybody's rushing, going out to play youth soccer. A lot of them saw our van, looked. Some of them snickered. Some of them ignored. Some of them moved their kids faster. Get going.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to come and talk about Jesus in that big park. It just gives you an idea of the idle things that people place value on, youth sports. And guess what? We used to be there one time.
Right.
We were there. We're no better than these people. We used to be there one time. But there's darkness upon them. They're spiritually blind. We're going to talk about truth and spiritual blindness a little bit later. So, Sister Amen, what is on your heart and mind today? Anything you want to share right up front?
Well, kind of we're talking about what we found, the raspberries.
Yeah, the raspberries.
I was kind of thinking about that, you know.
That was a surprise. They were in the thicket. We didn't even know they were there, and we kind of... We were like, hey, what's there? We sought them out.
Yeah, I was looking at the flowers and then kind of just thinking about not overlooking what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
What God might put in front of you and stuff. And I know we're supposed to be thankful for what you want to call like small blessings or whatever, over and above food and raiment.
Yeah.
But the small things are big too. And we should be thankful for the food and raiment, and then even more so for the extra blessings that we get, and to be looking and seeing what God has given us.
Right. And not take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking of just a few of them, not to take up too much time, that we can overlook in a day. You know, we're thankful for everything, but we can overlook and forget to be thankful for even like the breath we have. The health that we have, even if it might not be the best health, we've got health to get up and take care of ourselves, hopefully.
Yeah, I preach all the time to people walking by. You're breathing his air. You're walking on his earth. You should be grateful,
too,
thankful.
Yeah, exactly. A sound mind.
Sound mind.
Can think, you know, you can write, you can walk, you can cook,
yep.
You can clean. All of those things that maybe sometimes in our busy lives, they turn into a burden.
Yeah.
Instead of being something we should be thankful for. So it's all kind of...
Kind of like Christ and salvation itself.
Exactly, yeah. And I was going to say, a lot of people can kind of overlook that, which is right in front of them every day, what Christ did.
Yep, brethren.
The gospel.
Brethren that you have in your life.
Yeah, and the truth that we have, the wisdom that we have, the discernment that we have.
Yep.
And the hope that we have, and everything that the Lord offers us that we need to serve him throughout our lives here, it can be easy to overlook that as you get busy in your day, so we just don't want to overlook it and always be looking to see what it is that the Lord has put in front of us.
That's human nature. Human nature is to not be grateful what they have right in front of them and to be wanderlusting for what they don't have.
Well, exactly, because God has everybody where he wants them, doing what he wants them to do. Hopefully they're obedient doing it.
Yeah.
And we can't be overlooking that and wanting something else when that may never be on what on God's plan.
Plan for us,
and
yeah.
His will. Yeah, we take His will for today.
Amen.
So anyway, just some random thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wanted to cover that today. I'll start out with some sadder stuff, and then we're going to end up with some good stuff. Mm. But we'll start out with some sad stuff. I had to send an email today that I didn't want to send, but I had to. It's regarding an issue with a man we used to have fellowship with. I once considered him a brother. Now I don't know anymore. Matthew 5, 22 through 24, Jesus talked about if you have an issue with a brother, before you take your gift to the altar, go reconcile. And long story short, I'm not going to talk about that, but I had to send an email to basically rebuke this person, and it's not unloving to do that. It's to the saving of a soul. 1 Timothy 5:20, we read it all the time. To them that are in sin, rebuke before all that others may see and fear. There's a reason for rebuking. Rebuking is correction and instruction, calling them to repentance. And then James 5:19 through 20, brother and I were just reading this. Brethren, if any of you do error from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Notice there, the error was leaving the truth. Mm-hmm. So truth, that we're going to talk about that in a little while. So I had to send an email, and I hope that person, I probably will never hear from them. I'm not looking for fellowship with them again. Nope. What I'm looking to do is to use God's word and truth to prick their conscience so they can repent of something they need to repent of so that they can move on and have a right standing with the Lord and not be under God's wrath because of willful sin. So hopefully that works out well.
Right.
Anything else on your mind today, Sister Amin? Any scriptures you want to read? Or I have a bunch of different thoughts I'm going to come in and out of, but I wanted to make sure I include
you
in it.
Can.
No, go ahead. You got a scripture you want to share?
Well, I just had, excuse me, just another thought. I was thinking about, you know, going out for this weekend a couple days in a row, stand outside the so-called Christian event, and me doing my Titus 2 duties, thinking, okay, I want to make sure that we have what we need for food and water and things are, you know, all the gadgets we use while we're out there,
yeah,
meeting our media, our technology and things, and we make sure they're all charged, they're all ready, and just getting things prepared. And I was just thinking about preparing, you know, on this earth, we're preparing and we're doing the Lord's work, but
yeah,
also preparing for eternity. I was going to read 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Yeah.
So just a, I know we talk about the same thing sometimes and repeat, but
nothing new under the sun.
I know reminders are really good to always remember to prepare for what's for eternity, even though you have to deal with everything here on this earth, and make sure that what we do here isn't going to get burned up. You know, even
yeah,
the small things we do, if it's done unto the Lord, is a good work.
Preparation and order, very important in the Christian life.
Right, exactly.
God is a God of order. I just used that in the teaching I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And preparation and preparing, like you were talking about, getting ready. These preaches are a little different. We get to bring our little cart with us. And so we get
yeah,
to bring a little bit more things with us to be prepared. So that takes a little bit more planning.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Praise God.
Good thought. Today, I had a thought. I was talking with a brother. And I don't know, this thought just sprang into me. I just want to share it all with you quickly and just briefly, not going into any depth. Ready? So you might not know, this is like newer believers. You might not know what is right in your early walk, but you definitely know what's wrong, and you need to flee it. And my brother said, that's a good point. And we were talking about how, like, when you're a brand new believer, you might not know all truth. You can't contend in all truth. You don't know all sound doctrine. But you look at Christmas and Easter, and you go, I know those are false. I know those are false. You got to flee them. You got to leave what you know, and then God will open your eyes to give you more and more and more. Many people won't flee what they know is false, and they keep wanting more truth. And God says, you haven't obeyed what I gave you. Why am I going to give you something more?
Right.
So I just wanted to bring that up, that if James says to not do what you know is right is sin.
Right.
And so an early part of our walk is to start pushing off what God has shown us is lies, sin, and falsehood. Then he rewards us with more, more, more. And I think Sister Amin and I would confess that that's our testimony. When God started showing us stuff, when we were dripping wet, brand new babies, with nobody helping us, we were like, yeah, we'll obey. We don't even understand it fully, but we see it in the Word. We're doing it. And we were stripping it out. People were telling us, you're crazy. You're a cult. You'll never have a bunch of people with you. You'll never be accepted in a church. And we're like, we don't care. We want to obey the Father. We want to obey Christ.
Right.
We were doing it. Stuff was flying off us. And there were sparks coming off. We wanted to obey so quickly. So we learned that.
Right.
And as you strip yourself down, a man just said to me not too long ago, a brother, he said, as you strip yourself down, it makes a lot more room for the truth to come in.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Our trajectory was fast and hard because we were throwing things out so fast. As fast as we were throwing them out, it's like the Lord would reveal more, and we'd grab that and work hard to get rid of it.
Amen.
Yeah, we did have a couple stumblings here and there as we were learning and trying to go, but we're always pressing forward.
Yep.
So, yeah,
amen.
That's awesome. I like that.
So think of that. What do you know you should get rid of? What do you know what sin you should stop? False doctrine, false fellowship, false association, false practice. You better be getting rid of that because God is saying, you know it, you better do it, and then I'll give you more after that.
Yeah, you know, it made me think about way early on, I hadn't even gotten all the way through the New Testament, and I was going nice and slow and learning it, and this is awesome because I built my faith from ground zero without a bunch of false heresies in front of it. But you know what, I'm going to say this, sisters. In my conscience, I had no clue where to find it in the scriptures. I didn't even know what a godly woman looked like or acted like or how she was. I just wanted to be one. But in my conscience, I would say within the first week or so, I went in my closet and I threw away a whole bunch of clothes. I was still absolutely nowhere near biblical.
Right. But the sense was there.
My conscience knew that what I was doing wasn't right. Even before I even knew it in the Word or even knew the full truth of what Christ had done or said.
Ready? There's something to be said. This is a worldly saying, but it probably comes from truth. A lot of these sayings of the world come from truth in God's Word.
Yeah.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Right.
So when you become a new creation, it's like the old's got to go.
Yeah.
And clothing is such a big deal in our culture, and media and entertainment, all those things have to go.
Oh, yeah. And the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Oh, the conscience that he uses on you? Oh, yeah, the conviction in your conscience, I mean. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Oh, I love to think about that. That's such an awesome
thing. Yeah, so ponder on that. Getting rid of things you know have to go, not holding on to them, not waiting to do other truth, and God will reward you. We'll talk about that at the end as you do those things.
I love that.
Sister Amin, I have questions for you today.
Oh,
I do.
Plural?
I do. More than one.
Uh-oh.
Here's one. Ready?
Oh, no.
Here's one. Ready? Let's see, sisters, how she does.
Are you ready? Get set. Go.
What does it mean to you to wait on the Lord?
What does it mean for me to wait on the Lord? I guess what that means
just
is
a brief
I'm going to keep striving on in the truth and the holiness that I know and I can do. And if I'm struggling in something or need an answer in something, I'll keep going. But yet I'll be waiting on the Lord to help me through that or reveal it as I'm still going.
That's a good answer. Brother and I were talking about waiting on the Lord. He asked me a question. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So we talked about that. You're exactly right. So we don't wait on the Lord for everything. This is a big problem with the churchianity system, man-centered gospels, easy believism. God's doing everything. You can do nothing. You just sit back. God sanctifies you. God does the work in you. You can't do anything. You're like filthy rags. No, all of this is a lie. The Bible calls us to do much in a covenant. We have to do everything we can do. And guess what? When we do what we're supposed to be doing, repenting, obeying, being bold, preaching, learning, edifying each other, those are all things we can do, all of it with God's help. Jesus said you could do nothing without me.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Sister Amin was right, and that's what Brother and I talked about. What do we wait on the Lord for? We wait on the Lord for those things that only he can do. Ready? Oh, my soul is troubled. I need peace, Lord. Give me peace. You got to wait on the Lord for that. We can't just snap our fingers and make peace come. Oh, Lord, secure my soul for eternity. I want to be with you in eternity. We can't secure our souls. We got to wait on the Lord for that. So the idea of waiting on the Lord has been corrupted with you just sit around and do nothing while he does all the work. That is not true. Jesus said, strive to enter through the straight way. That word strive means to fight. in Luke 13:24. Mm-hmm. Strive to enter through the straight way. That means to fight. So we have a fight to do. So we fight hard, we obey, we do, not for salvation, but because we're in Christ with salvation. And then we wait upon the Lord for the peace, the ultimate salvation. Here you go. We're waiting on the Lord for his return. We're ready. We're waiting on the Lord to vanquish our enemies. We're waiting on the Lord to bring the new heaven and the new earth. We're waiting on the Lord to cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we repent in the blood of Christ. Right. So that I hope that blesses everybody to understand that we don't wait on the Lord for everything. We do what we're supposed to do. Then we wait on him for that which we can't do.
Amen. I love that. Yeah, it kind of made me think about in the very, very beginning of our walk, and I was reading in the scriptures, and I'm like, oh, this is something I have to do. My flesh doesn't like it. And I'd cry out to the Lord, like literally crying, going, Lord, I'm sorry that my flesh doesn't want to do it, and I'm fighting the battle. My spirit wants to, my flesh doesn't want to. Help my heart to change and get rid of all that.
Which you can't do that on your own.
I couldn't do it. Right. I went forth obediently, and I saw it in the Word, and I understood it, but my flesh hated it. It was a big battle.
Yeah.
In some
Help me rejoice in obeying you, because my flesh doesn't want to.
Yeah, and he does. As long as you're going to, you do your part, he'll do his. He's so faithful.
Yeah, so ponder that, waiting on the Lord. I think that's going to be a teaching coming up that I want to do.
Nice.
And I think that'll be a good one.
That's a good one.
And then I wanted to throw this out there. So another brother was telling me about rolling blackouts in his town. In the wintertime when it's cold. And imagine being in total darkness. It's overnight, too. Blackouts. Everything goes black.
Yeah, right.
For hours and hours and hours. And it's a regular pattern in this country. They don't have enough energy, so they have to share it, and it rolls through. It's called rolling blackouts. They used to have them years ago when power was just, like, new. But anyway, imagine sitting in total darkness. I mean, imagine people are getting ready with flashlights, candles, whatever.
Used to it, yeah.
But sitting in darkness, that's how the culture used to be, in darkness. Something to ponder. And it made me think about how we all lived in spiritual darkness till God's light illuminated us.
Oh, I know.
God's spirit and truth illuminated us. There's physical darkness is one thing, but spiritual darkness is far, far worse. Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which ye, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured, that's King James English, ye endured a great fight of affliction. So he's talking about illumination. That's to bring light forth, to be light shined upon. And we're going to talk about that at the end of this audio and rejoice about it. But isn't that amazing how we used to walk in darkness and we didn't see what we see today? We didn't see the light. We didn't see spiritual things. We didn't see or want eternal things. And then the light of God comes upon us. And the good news is there's no rolling blackouts with the Father. His power, his power is enough to illuminate us always if we're looking to him, seeking him, crying out to him. Now, if we go into sin, he may put us in darkness.
Right.
But if we're seeking his kingdom and seeking him, Jesus promised us, seek the kingdom and its righteousness, and everything will be added to you.
And he'll never leave or forsake us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right. If
awesome.
We're walking in obedience.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate the darkness. The spiritual darkness is so horrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's so horrible.
It is. And we can turn ourselves over to it.
Oh, yeah.
If we allow it to come in, sin or rebellion or whatever to come in. And if we choose sin, God will turn us over. You were just reading in Romans 1.
Yeah, we're talking about that today.
How people are turned over and they no longer even want to retain any remembrance of God.
Right, and we've seen people who have the fruit and evidence of Holy Spirit-filled saints walking in his ways, but yet they're still struggling with flesh and they're not winning the battle. And we'll see them joyous and striving and strong one day, and the next day they just look like dead.
Right.
Totally dead.
Yeah.
In every way.
Like a switch flipped.
Yep. And then as they press through that, the light is within them again.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's amazing the contrast between the light and the dark.
It's a frightening thing
to be on the wrong side.
Yeah, it's all tied to our ability to look to the Father, look to the Savior, be striving for the Word, be walking in the Spirit. If we turn back and we want to go walk in sin and darkness, that light will be shut off. It'll be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the parable of the talents. God gives you something. If you don't do something with it, he'll take it away and cast you into outer darkness, the parable of the talents.
Weeping and gnashing.
You want darkness? Teeth. I'll put you in outer darkness. It reminds me of Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the father said, you want a hardened heart? Oh. I'm going to really harden it for you.
Wow.
And now it reminds me of people that want to go and dabble in the darkness, and God says, you want darkness? I'm going to give you darkness. So God gives you the desires of your heart. And we see worldly, wicked people want sin and darkness, and that's what they're going to get.
Yeah, even in the end, in Revelation.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, when God does everything he does, they're gnawing their tongues, and they hate him, and blaspheme him. Yeah.
So we rejoice that God was merciful on us and let us live long enough to come to that light. And we strive every day to walk in it, and that's what we're all about in our ministry, our lives, online, in our fellowship, in our relationships with people. We're about pointing people, encouraging people. There's a light. Keep going. Don't turn away from it.
Right.
Walk into it. Press into it. Do. Strive after the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Strive into the light, right?
Go, Sister Saints, go.
Amen. Amen. So tomorrow, Lord willing, if we wake up, we are headed to this Carnal Christian Music Fest. It's really a fleshly gathering of churchianity, false ways, mostly in our experience, full of goats. That would be unregenerated people that have a false Jesus and a false gospel, live like the world and of the world. And perhaps there are some sheep there that know they need to repent and come out. That's who we're going for.
Yeah.
And to shine the light and to glorify God, number one is a number one thing we're going for. Sister Amon, I got my number two question for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
One, two, three, go.
Do you have brain energy left?
I'm thinking I do.
Are you walking in the spirit? Can you answer this?
Oh, the Lord will help me, and if I need help, you'll help me.
Ready? What do you enjoy most about these type of preaches, the Christian false carnal music events?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is standing for the Lord and his
Besides
truth.
That's what at every preach.
Yeah.
This particular kind?
Well, it's everybody claiming Christ's name, so the chance possibly of some seekers being there may be a little bit higher.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess that would be the first thing.
Right.
I was thinking of.
So it's you're hoping that there's more fertile soil?
Possibly,
Yeah,
conviction on those who maybe have a hardened heart and they do something wicked and they walk away and then maybe they're like, oh, that wasn't really good. Maybe what they were saying was right or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons I like these more is because we still get hecklers and we still get people in our face at times, if you can believe it or not, but it tends to be a different kind of people that at least have a semblance of a faith in a God and their Savior. And then our job is to preach the truth through them and try to turn them from that false gospel, that easy believism. So it's kind of a whole different kind of crowd. And I enjoy it because lately we tend to get a lot of young people that are claiming to be Christians that will stand and listen. I think that's one of the favorite things I like about it lately.
Yeah,
young people. The old ones mock, walk off and mock. And the teenagers come and go, why are you here? And we talk to them and tell them why. So that's kind of why I like it. We get to reach the youth.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was thinking about, we were here last year for the same event, and there was a lot of issues, and it was with the middle to older age. Remember, the whole group came around?
Yeah, the whole group came around and wanted to do it.
The police even came over because of it.
They surrounded us, and we're going to do a group prayer. And I'm like, no, we don't pray with people we don't know. And I walked right out of their circle, and they were like so appalled that we wouldn't let them pray all over us. And I'm like, you guys are not exhibiting the fruit. Some of them had their hands up talking in tongues. And,
demonic activity.
Yeah. And by the way, I need to comment on this. I just found out the radio station that promotes this, I just learned, also is putting on a bunch of NAR concerts with the NAR people like Kim Walker Smith and stuff. I didn't even know that about them. I thought they were just typical churchianity. Oh, yeah, their flavor of Christianity is in all kinds of New Apostolic Reformation, demonic religion. So, yeah, it's worse than we thought.
Well, yeah, look at the whole thing going on tomorrow.
I mean,
it's from any flavor you want to be.
Yeah.
Any flavor could just show up, and everybody's like calling each other brother and sister.
Yeah, and it started tonight. We didn't go tonight, and they had Skillet there, which is just a carnal, fleshly, sinful, heavy metal band that calls on the name of the Lord in a lukewarm, easy believe way. They are just a wicked group. They play at a place called Hellfest, where all the bands that play there are demonic bands, and they go and play there. So anyway, I think the youth being there and getting to speak life into them. And ready? You'll agree with me here. My favorite reason for going to these is like going to religious bodies, to get to stand where people claim Christ and we get to stand and represent his truth. It's different than the world.
It is. It's like standing against their falseness.
In many ways, it's much more contentious than the world. The world walks by and goes, yeah, whatever, and they walk by. These people walk by and go, you're offending me because of my faith.
Oh, I know. I was just going to say, you know, these places, it is good in a way because we may end up getting more people who might want to listen. But yeah, it's almost like continuous contention with every single person going by. You try to call them out of their sin, warn them about it. And yeah.
Well, it's Jesus with the Pharisees. Jesus got along better with the worldly people than he did the Pharisees. You know, for a season. And then eventually, no.
Well,
the worldly people didn't kill him. It was all the religious people that killed him.
Exactly.
All the Jews said, crucify him. And it wasn't the Samaritans that killed him.
No.
So we have that same issue. So, yeah, that's why I kind of really enjoy it and look forward to it to be a light in these dark so-called spiritual places.
Right. And I was thinking about, you know, you just brought up Jesus and the Pharisees. Everybody looks at the Pharisees as all the false teachers today. But think about what happened then. The Pharisees were bringing, what do they call it, uprising, what you would call the pew sitters today.
Right, yep.
You know, so they're all, I mean, you don't want to just elevate the false teachers as worse than all the pew sitters. They are to a point, but the pew sitters are the ones that
are supporting them and heaping them up.
And so
in these last days, it's Paul says the itchy ears of the people heap up for themselves false teachers.
Yeah, so they're not innocent. I'm always telling sisters and women out on the street claiming Christ that, you know, being deceived, because everybody goes, well, maybe all those people are deceived because of the false teachers. Well, they're not. And if they are, they're in sin because they're not testing to the Word.
The ultimate teacher is the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You should be testing, and you'll see the truth.
And we saw that in Romans 1.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, so that's why we like doing that. So, good Lord willing, that'll go off tomorrow. And then last thought for today. Well, I'll let Sister Amin have some other thoughts, but my last thought today, I want to rejoice. I started out with some bad news with that email. I want to rejoice and give a report how I just got off the phone with a brother who is telling us he's had some struggles and he's given up so much to follow after the things of God, and God is turning on the truth in him. God is showing him the light. God is opening his eyes, and he's seeing why truth is so important, why the foundation is so important, why following after Christ and holding a sound doctrine. And I've seen this man have pain and angst and struggles in his face and in his life. And it was a joyous thing today to see joy and a smile and a spring in his step, because he was saying, God has showed me what I needed and God has given me what I needed, and I'm so thankful, and he's free in Christ. And why did this happen, Sister Amin? I just alluded to it. This man gave up his family, his career. He gave up everything to go, dropped his nets to go and follow after Christ and obey him. And Hebrews 11:6 says this, and he did this all by faith, like Noah, like Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
So
this man has diligently sought after God, hung on when he didn't think he could, hung on when he didn't even understand, gave up when he wasn't even sure, should I even be doing this? I think I should be. And now God is turning the lights on in him, and it is joyous to see it.
So
we're rejoicing, and it's just special for us to be a tiny part of this, encouraging these people, seeing the process, seeing people's lives change, and ready? So this man had a lot to do. He did it. But then seeing what he couldn't do, he was waiting upon the Lord for his, when his obedience came to where it should be, the peace of God came upon him.
Right, that's awesome.
And now he has the peace of God, and he's understanding what it is to wait on God, to obey, to strive, and then wait upon the Lord for the reward, which is understanding, illumination, like we just talked about, enlightenment and peace. And he said, I've never known such peace in my life, just simply following Christ.
Yeah.
Getting away with man-made religion, doing away with man-made religion, doing away with the world, killing and putting your flesh down, getting rid of all the idle pursuits, and just to pursue Christ. He said, I've never known this peace before. And it was awesome. So I'm rejoicing deep inside to see that happen today. Thank you, Father.
That's awesome.
We're so grateful and we're so happy that in a few people, a puny few that we know, God's truth is elevated and is always true. Just because the masses aren't doing it, seeing it, and walking in it like in Noah's day, the faith of Noah was true then, just as the faith is true today.
Right, and we know God has his people all over.
He does.
Even if we don't all know each other, he has them all out there, so that's awesome,
Anything else today, Sister Amen?
Well, I was just thinking what you were sharing on there. I remember way back in the beginning, I remember thinking freedom.
He mentioned that too.
Yeah, freedom from this life, freedom from, you know, I don't know, I guess I don't want to say, it just kind of popped in my mind.
Ready? Freedom from guilt, shame, the flesh.
Yeah, and freedom from not being, let's see, freedom of only serving God first, I guess was in my mind, because I'd come out of the corporate world before this, and it was just shortly before I was born again.
Yeah.
And all the oppression of, you know, your reputation.
Yeah, and pursuing the things of the world.
And, yeah.
The cares of the world.
Yeah, just to be free from all that and just serve God and everything else falls into place after that. It's like you don't have to serve all these other things of the flesh and the world and you get to serve God.
This goes with my three freedom article. Freedom in Christ, you're born again, then to be debt-free.
Yeah.
And then to be free from the world systems that encumber you. And this young man was talking about how his only care of the world is his job. You know, man has to work.
Yeah.
So he shows up and labors and does a good job. Other than that, he's been set free from all the career goals. He's been set free from seeking the things of the world.
Reputations, what people think of you.
And the Father has opened up a whole new world to him to walk through this life spiritually, not in the flesh, and now see everything eternally and see the lost people that need the gospel that are going to die and go to hell versus how am I going to get my next job and make a lot more money?
Right.
And to grow up in the things of God, Fertile ground.
Amen. Yeah, I love that. We live in the world of God within this world of Satan.
Amen.
God's kingdom within this.
Yeah, ready? That's a good point. We live in Satan's kingdom, but we walk through the kingdom of God.
We
serve the kingdom of God. We're like, that's why they always talk about it. We're like, if you want to call it missionaries, emissaries, ambassadors of an outpost. We're like ambassadors of God in this dark, lost world. And he sent us forth as sheep among wolves.
Cool, I love
he
that.
Sent us forth to be his representatives, like a king sending forth a messenger.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? Go and do our own thing, or are we going to serve our king?
We better be serving our king who died and shed his blood for us. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we're going to leave it right there. I do have one thing. I added a teaching today. Sister Amen's loading it up for me on the New Testament body is like a family.
Mm-hmm.
So ponder that, and nice. I think that'll bless you. Go listen to that. You had something else, Sister Amen?
Just a scripture verse.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Most important thing we got is the Word of God.
Psalm 73:28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
Ooh, I love that.
Uh-huh.
I love that. And that's what that saint is doing that we just talked about, drawing near to God and putting all his cares upon that. That's awesome.
Yeah, let us all do that every day and remind ourselves to do it.
Amen. I encourage all you saints to do that. All you seekers, if you're listening, you need to repent and be part of this glorious Savior who shed his blood for you. Nothing in this world is worth holding on to versus the eternal truth of God in the gospel of Christ. By his death, burial, and resurrection, you need to come and repent. By faith, come to him. Repent and cry out to God. Acts 5 says he'll give the Holy Spirit to those who will obey him. And you can walk in the truth of God in holiness and obedience, and God calls us to endure in that. It's such a joy to every day walk in it, endure in it, and we get a reward at the end. And the reward is going to be our eternal life with our Master, with our Creator, when we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
I love that.
That's what I'm striving for.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be a pillar in the house of my Father, the temple of my Father.
Amen.
The book of Revelation says we could be a pillar in the temple of God.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll even be the janitor there. I don't care.
Right.
I'll even clean the pillars. It doesn't matter to me.
Right, right.
I just want to get there.
Servant, the
I want to get there and see that light, the S-O-N, the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not worthy, but because of him, we can.
Amen, because of what he's done. So that's a glorious thing to think about. We hope that edifies and encourages you. Tomorrow, we hope to report to you from the Carnal Music Festival, lots of stories, witnessing, videos and audios, if we get a chance to put them up tomorrow. If not, I think we're going to try to, because we may go out again Saturday. And so we'll try to get them
we'll
up
see how it works.
And stay on top of that if we have good internet and everything.
Yeah, we'll see.
So love to you all, the called out ones of God. Seek the kingdom. We're here to help you no matter what.
Amen. We love you all. Hold fast.
God be praised.